Second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pulp stream, go to the Animal World website. It's actually faster if you go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen Upper Left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. And, there's some good stuff on Facebook. I know we had a recall last week. We don't have anything this week. Oh, that's what I remind you about. Jude's attunement. Remember the spring equinox attunement is up on Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook. It's 9 minutes and 17 seconds. I just checked it is how long it takes you to listen to that, but it's a really good energy clearing. And if you haven't seen the little rat whose owner makes little teeny stuffed teddy bears for her little rat, it's too cute. But Jude's attunement is there if you want to find it, Martha Norwalk's Animal World. It is, extra Sunday month, this month in March. And, we are spending, the first, part of the show with, Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. And they're here. We got started with them last hour. We are going to continue on here. And then, for the last hour, just after we love train at 11, Janice, from New Pro Supplements is going to join us all the way from Florida on her vacation. And, we'll hear all all about the new pro supplements and all that great stuff. And she's always so much fun to listen to. She's got great stories and all that good stuff. So, Merritt and Beth. We talked about Henry, your rooster, and Arabella, his gal, and how protective he is. Then he singed his feathers on the heater in the coop, and then we've talked about, you know, how you used the squirt bottle to kind of, you know, curb Henry's habits of wanting to sneak attack you to make sure you don't miss with his girl Arabella. And then we got into the cockfighting stuff, because you guys monitor that, and the best source I know of information, and been some recent, what we were talking about, just some very, very recent busts of big cockfighting ring. And that just happened, you're talking about just yesterday or less or something, right?
The biggest bust in years happened just yesterday and last night. Just south of Dallas, Texas. And you were mentioning some of the excesses of the Trump administration. I'd like to point out something here with reference to cockfighting.
Oh, please do.
If you want to catch a whole bunch of criminal illegal aliens, and I actually have the evidence here right on the laptop.
You said if you want to catch a lot of illegal immigrants,
actual criminals,
then the cockfighting business is where you ought to be looking. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I managed to access and download a list of 366 actual cockfighters in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
Of whom about 10% listed their permanent addresses as being in Mexico rather than in the United States. They're listing their addresses because these guys are in the cockfighting business. They are selling roosters to each other. They're selling spurs. They're selling breeding hens. They're letting each other know where the fights are. This, by the way, is not supposed to be a public list, but I managed to get it. And as I say, you look at their addresses, where they are listing as their home address for contact purposes, about 10% are listing Mexican addresses. Now, why are the immigration people not jumping all over this? Well, it's because, among other things, the Trump administration has drastically downsized the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service staff, which includes the people responsible for enforcing the federal law against cockfighting. So they're not getting these actual illegal alien criminals. They're giving them a free pass, and so are, in the case of Titus County, Texas, the local sheriffs, because they're good buddies with these people. They're Facebook friends. We suspect that there is money being passed back and forth. We can't prove it, but we don't know any other reason why last week Titus County did not bust a cockfight that was apparently even bigger than the one that got busted in Ellis County, because they had plenty of advance warning. They knew it was going on. It was being live streamed by Steve Hindi from his drone.
Wow. I would imagine that, you know, having drones now, that's made a difference in them being able to, you know, police things or see what's going on.
If they want to do it. Steve has been using these drones to document cockfights and COLA, which is steer tailing, and these both are activities that involve quite a few illegal aliens from Mexico, and they're criminal activities in themselves.
All right. So you just mentioned something I don't know anything about. What on earth is steer tailing, or what did you say?
Steer tailing is one of the nine events that's part of Charrieta, otherwise known as Mexican Rodeo. Three of those events are exactly the same as in American Rodeo, and some of the other events are pretty benign. They're sort of like synchronized swimming on horseback. But steer tailing and horse tripping, two of the events are horse tripping. One of the events is steer tip.
Horse tripping, like T-R-I-P-P?
Right. Dropping the horse by roping the... One involves roping the front legs. The other involves roping the back legs.
Oh, geez. That sounds like horribly dangerous for the horses.
It is. It's illegal in several states.
So the horse is running around and they rope the feet of the horse?
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And where it's illegal, they'll do it in an arena where they can't be seen.
Yeah, so this is one of the things that...
So that's the horse tripping. So what's the steer tailing?
The steer tailing is the guys go out on horseback chasing a steer, try to lean over, grab the steer's tail, and wrap the tail around their ankles and pull the steer down by the tail, who sometimes loses the tail. We have seen more video than you can imagine of steers actually losing the ends of their tails.
Oh, gosh.
And they often land very hard. They can break their necks. They break their horns. And technically, this should be illegal cruelty to animals. The way the cruelty laws are written in many states, they exempt normal agricultural procedures. But it is not a normal agricultural procedure to rip a steer's tail off and drop it down bodily. In fact, after that happens, the steers are no longer in shape to go through a slaughterhouse.
The people in charge of the communities don't want to deal with it because they are making money off of it with permits and stuff. And the other reason is because they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. It's political. They can be accused of being racist or, criticizing the Mexican culture. They don't want to have anything
to
do with
it. One of the things that's really ironic about this, there is nobody living or dead who has done more to expose the cruelty in American-style rodeo than Steve Hindy of showing animals respect and kindness with his drone fleet. It's only been the last couple of years that he's taken on the charrieta, especially the co-op, which is the steer tailing. And he's hearing all this crap from people who have obviously not paid any attention over the last 30 years to his exposés of American-style rodeo, including many of the biggest rodeos that are held. And it's pretty dangerous stuff because the rodeo people don't like him. They've run him off the road. The cockfighters have beaten him up. The rodeo people haven't done that. But
wow.
It has gotten pretty hairy.
Well, so they're actually there's this the Mexican rodeo that you're talking about that's where the horse tripping and the steer tailing events happen. So are there places here in this country that they're having Mexican rodeos?
Absolutely. Now, if it's in Mexico, there's actually the Mexican Federation of Charrieta, which actually enforces some pretty good rules to protect the animals. But here, it's totally outlawed. There's no sanctioning body. There's no inspection. There's no recognition from law enforcement that this even exists. So the most brutal so-called Mexican-style rodeos that we know of are conducted in this country.
Because there's no, it's an outlaw thing and nobody's regulating that. Yet the Mexican rodeos in Mexico, they have some rules involved. And oh, wow. Oh, gosh.
Most of what we've seen would be a violation of the rules of the Mexican Federation of Charrieta. But it goes on right here in Washington. The worst we've seen is what Steve has documented in Illinois. It also goes on in California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado.
Wow. Wow. And it sounds like even when they are brought to light, and it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be anything done about it because the local community, the authorities are all involved in the process.
That's what it's turned out to be so far.
Wow. Wow.
There have been a very few arrests, a very few prosecutions, mostly because of Steve Hindy's video in Illinois. And some years ago, there were a couple of prosecutions in Colorado done by another friend of ours, or done with evidence gathered by another friend of ours named Eric Mills, who is now 85 years old, so his ability to do that kind of thing is limited. But mostly law enforcement doesn't even know this is going on. They don't pay attention to it. It's not licensed. It looks to them like just a bunch of guys gathered in a field around a corral.
The abuse doesn't end at the steer. They also beat their horses while they're trying to ride them for no apparent reason. They'll just be punching their horses before they go run after this steer. It's just incredible that it's being ignored by law enforcement.
The horse beating that we have seen documented at Charriade, especially in connection with Kolha, is the worst horse abuse I've ever seen. There's nothing anywhere near that bad that goes on a horse racing track or in harness racing or even an American style rodeo. As bad as it is not as bad
No, they don't.
as it is in
This is not
U.S.
correction.
Charriade.
This isn't correction. This is sadistic abuse.
So I remember this Steve Hindy, the guy you're talking about that is does, the droning and the spying and all of that. I would think that he would be given that information to what would it be, ICE or whoever it is that's, says they're deporting all these illegal aliens these days. You would think that they would take advantage of knowing there's so many gathered for a specific purpose. Why not take advantage of that? And
Steve
maybe they actually would get some criminals that way.
gives the information to the local sheriffs because they have the jurisdiction to go in and arrest the animal abusers and identify them. It's in identifying them that you turn up who's actually an illegal alien. Now, there have been a few cases in connection with cockfighting in Texas where a large number of illegal aliens have been found and deported as a result of violating the Texas law. But before ICE can get involved, you have to have definitive evidence of who's there. They're not going to just come out and randomly inspect a crowd. So the arrest by the local sheriff who has the jurisdiction usually has to come first. In a few cases with cockfighting, that's a federal felony. So it goes interstate. In a few cases, USDA, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, and the FBI will come out. But mostly they don't come out either until the local sheriffs have established that there's an interstate connection. And now their staffs have been drastically cut back. There's no longer as much federal ability to interdict cockfighting as there was just 6 months ago.
I wonder how much interest there would be in dealing with any of that, and the Trump administration. I'm just knowing kind of the attitude of the family, and the kids are all trophy hunters and all of that, and that. Don't think there's any real connection to the animal world in the family. To them, they're just trophies and so forth. So I don't know. Now, I'm wondering, it sounds like all this, the Mexican rodeos and stuff probably closer to the border in the south. And you mentioned these big, the big,
Goes on right here in Washington. It goes on wherever you have chicken processing plants, basically, which is
And the risk is, so I was going to say, but do we have anything going on in our state this far north? Are we removed from
absolutely.
all of this? We're too far away, or is it happening here too?
So we have found ourselves where there are Charriada events held here in Washington, including Kolha, where there is
Othella,
illegal.
Othella,
Yeah.
Othella, Washington.
Right. They're advertising as Charriada. Beth found that. We don't know whether Kolha or Mangana, that's the horse tripping, is part of it. But if they have all nine events, then it will be.
So we actually have some of this Mexican rodeo stuff going on here.
Right. With
Oh my gosh.
no inspection.
And cockfighting. And
And cockfighting has been busted here in Washington a number of times. And as I mentioned before, there have been at least three murders connected with cockfighting here in Washington that
Wow.
I'm aware of. There's an American kid from the Tri-Cities area who was killed in a massacre at a Mexican cockfight last spring. I guess he was down there on his Easter vacation.
Wow.
Law enforcement generally are dragging their heels about this. So if you want to do something
Even in our state, they're dragging their heels.
all over the country.
Wow.
So until these sheriffs and police chiefs hear from the people that live in that community that they want this stopped, there's no incentive. There should be an incentive because we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that can be confiscated for the city, the municipality, the police department, that can be used as a resource for purchasing equipment, hiring more officers. So there really should be, there's a financial incentive to bust the cockfighters, but they're not doing it. And I think part of it is, some of them are, but most of them are not. Part of it is that good old boy, they're just boys being boys, fighting roosters. But we're talking big money. The more fights that a rooster wins, the more valuable that rooster becomes when they breed and sell the offspring.
Wow.
The drug aspect. The fighting roosters are very often given cocaine. They're very often given illegal steroids. They're giving other illegal stimulants. So
And they.
when you bust a cockfight, you're also doing a drug bust almost invariably. And I've gone through this and statistically quantified it. It's something like 90% of cockfights, illegal drugs are seized as well, and firearms,
And
because
disease. Wow.
when you're dealing
Wow.
with drug dealers, then
Revenue.
you're dealing with
So it
gambling.
sounds like the only way that you would get anyone to address it would be a local uprising of demand to
Right.
deal with it.
And I
No, that
also
makes sense.
mention that while in our part of the country and in Texas, it is mostly people of Mexican descent that are involved. In the South, it's mostly the white good old boys, the guys that wear their bed sheets that are doing this stuff. So we're talking about
Oh,
bad
okay.
guys of,
The
all.
K, you mean bed sheets, the KKK type energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
Those are the guys that are cockfighting in the South and the Appalachians.
Man, is there a lot going on? I think it's time for a break. All right. We
It's a
need to
good
take
thing
care
it's
of
around
Ad.
10:20.
I've had enough of it. I just thought,
Oh, I know the feeling.
well, I mean, what? There's nothing really good to say here. Okay, I'm gonna scream silently, and we're gonna take care of advertisers. So you think is I'm good for a moment, and then we'll come back and see if there's anything we want to talk about there. But well, we might as well get the yucky stuff out. We're bullfighting, man. We got a lot of work to do to clean up the animal world. But I guess we're busy working with the human world. Anyway, stay right where you are. We're going to take care of our advertisers. More with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. Straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now.
Hello, this is Marilyn Milano, host of Love Has Many Faces on Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW, and we are all about helping animals and their people. To that end, we talk to rescue groups, medical and behavioral experts, businesses with products or services that help pet, and others who are making a difference. Tune in to Alternative Talk 1150 every Tuesday from 9 to 9:30 in the morning Pacific Time, and now you can listen to Love Has Many Faces wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Just look for Love Has Many Faces and join us there.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? You running on the show. You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Need help getting started with self-help? You came to the right place. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are just about midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard from our wonderful Dr. Nels Rasmussen at HealingMinistryForAnimals.com. And he's our neuroenergetic balancer. He's here with Sister Linda Rasmussen the second Sunday of every month doing our healing show. And if you've heard him, you know what a gifted healer he is, helping keep our animal friends and us human animals in balance. You can check him out at his website, HealingMinistryForAnimals.com. He always does a free telephone evaluation. So if you want to talk to him about what he can do for your animals or you, you can go to the HealingMinistryForAnimals.com, click on the contact link, and fill it out and say, hey, I heard Martha talking about you, want to talk, and he'll arrange a phone call. The other thing you might want to do is join his private membership group. It only costs $10 for a lifetime. Then you get his newsletter every month, and you get to join the free Zoom classes that he's doing. He's actually teaching us how to do the Rasmussen reset and reset our own animals' nervous systems, and he does how to reset yourself when you're out of balance. Really amazing classes, and they're free if you join his private membership group for $10. And then you can work with him privately, but you can also call him the second Sunday of every month. And just to let you know, since he moved to Idaho, he's got a new phone number, and I've actually been getting some calls about his new phone number. So get your pen ready, because I'm going to give it to you now. Dr. Nels Rasmussen, HealingMinistryForAnimals.com, and his new phone number is 208-451-6003. 208-451-6003. And of course, you do anything wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We'd love to have you. You can shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty, we're back. We're talking animals, 24-7.org. And unfortunately, not a lot of good news we've been talking about, but unfortunately, or for whatever, it's news we need to know about. If we don't talk about these things, it's real easy to just go on about your business and not realize that there are all these animals being tortured all over the place. And it sounds like not good people. A lot of illegals and then a lot of drug dealing with the cockfighting and this Mexican rodeo business that is actually Mexican rodeos are better policed in Mexico than they are here. So it's the ones that are done illegally here that are so bad. And Merritt and Beth, you've said that we're not immune. It's happening in Washington state. It's happening probably in all states around the country. Anything else we need to know on these two, you know, the cockfighting, the Mexican rodeo, anything we need to finish up with that, or are we moving on to our next subject?
Yes, and this is actually a good news side of that.
Ah, okay.
And it leads into the bullfighting. In Mexico City, 27,000 people signed a petition practically overnight asking the Congress of Mexico City, which is the, you know, the like the city council, and it's actually a state, not just a city, to outlaw two things: bullfighting, Spanish-style bullfighting, and cockfighting. They didn't get the whole nine yards. They didn't get the ban on cockfighting, even though they signed in opposition to it. But they did get the ban on Spanish-style rodeo just this last week.
So Spanish-style bullfighting.
Excuse me, Spanish-style bullfighting. So now they can hold, technically you can call it a bullfight, but they are not allowed to pierce the bull's skin with any kind of a bandera or sword. They are not allowed to kill the bull. The bull must not be tormented with the cape for more than 15 minutes without getting a rest. There's none of the stuff of tiring the bull down until the bull falls down and is then stabbed. And the bull has to be returned alive to the ranch from which the bull came.
Huh.
So this is a very strong piece of legislation. It follows up on, there was a court decision in 2022 that bullfighting should be illegal under the Mexican environmental law because it's a form of violence that it's subjecting the citizenry to. That was then overturned by the Mexican Supreme Court, but this new piece of legislation brought into effect in Mexico City rectifies the overturning by the Mexican Supreme Court, and it's stronger than the original ruling. So,
So that's major progress.
This is really major. Now, we also have five other states in Mexico that have followed up on the original court ruling by banning bullfighting, Spanish-style bullfighting themselves. And it's interesting to me that among those states are several that are pretty much run by the cartels. Why do the cartels not like Spanish-style bullfighting? Well, one reason is because there's not so much money in it anymore. The Mexican people have largely rejected this aspect of Spanish culture that was imposed on them by the conquering Spanish to begin with 500 years ago. And it's always been resented by many of the people. It wasn't their choice for a national sport. In fact, if you look at baseball, basketball, soccer, all of those things are vastly more popular down there than bullfighting ever was. And the only thing that's really sustained bullfighting has been American tourism. The Mexico City Bull Ring and the Tijuana Bull Ring survived and thrived. All the others kind of faded out of popularity and have mostly been converted to other uses, mostly soccer stadiums. So,
Interesting. So, you know, and obviously we don't have bullfighting in this country. But gosh, I guess that, you know, hold on to the good news that, that at least Mexico was cleaning up their act and getting rid of it. That's really good news. I'm wondering, because, you know, didn't all this bullfighting stuff all starts in Spain? Doesn't, is anything going on with them? Are they doing anything? What's happening over there?
Spain is basically divided in, you might say, two halves, although they're not equal halves. One half is traditional Spain. The other half is Catalan, which is mostly the eastern side of Spain that includes Valencia, Barcelona. And Catalan has never liked bullfighting, even though it had some of the biggest tourist-oriented bull rings. And going back around 10 years, Catalan banned bullfighting as part of their independence movement, wanting to be a separate country from Spain. Similarly, the Basque region in the north of Spain banned bullfighting. Well, Madrid, which is the capital of Spain and capital of traditional Spain, countered that by ruling that bullfighting cannot legally be banned because it's part of the Spanish heritage. And the Catalonian people and the Basque people said, "The hell with that. I mean, maybe we can't make it illegal, but we don't need to go to it." So they don't go to it. It's not done very much anymore, because even though it is technically legal now, there's no local support for it at all.
Yeah, and the people won't support it, so they can't make any money.
And the people of Barcelona and Valencia have made clear that they don't want the tourist money if the tourist money comes with the bullfighting. Of the major bull rings that used to be there, I spent part of my childhood in Spain, and I remember those bull rings.
Wow.
And two of them have been converted into shopping centers, and the third one, which is technically still exists, is largely abandoned. So I think there's only two or three major bull rings left on the Iberian Peninsula, despite the support for it from the Spanish government.
So it sounds like there's progress, a little progress everywhere. Or at least, you know, people are not wanting to do it anymore. And, you know, you cut off the money. That's a good way to stop things.
When I was a kid living in Malaga, almost in the shadow of the bullring there, kids collected matchbooks with pictures of bullfighters on it, the same way kids here might collect baseball cards or did then.
Yeah, because bullfighters were very, very popular.
That has gone by the boards. That began to die out with Generalissimo Franco, the guy that was the dictator from the 1930s into the 1970s. And the whole culture of bullfighting is really on its way out the door. And I'd like to see progress like that here against rodeo, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. You know, hard to know when you know, the rodeo consciousness will be ready for that in this country. we can always think good thoughts and work towards that. I'm wondering, before we move on here, we have to take care of advertisers here pretty quick. What about, you know, cockfighting stuff? Does that go on in Europe, or have they stopped it over there? I mean, often they're more progressive than we are related to animals and stuff. So does that go on over there?
We sure don't hear about it if it's going on there.
Okay.
Cockfighting is primarily international. It's primarily an Asian thing, and it's big in Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand, and Philippines. But it's also been cracked down on quite a bit because it's a major vector for moving diseases such as especially H5N1.
The bird flu, isn't that? It helps spread that.
So cockfighting is now technically illegal in Indonesia. And they just had a big bust there that ended up with two soldiers who were illegally attending an illegal cockfight, killing three police officers who were among a detachment of 14 that raided a cockfight.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay, so we need to take care of advertisers. Take another break. Calm down here. And then we'll see what else is of interest with Animals 24-7 around the country or around the world. So stay right where you are. Merritt and Beth Clifton are with us until the top of the hour. And then we're going to switch subjects. And Janice from NuPro Supplements will join us. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life? Or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Exploring new territory every day. This is Alternative Talk 1150.
Martha Norwalk, and we are on the downside of the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Let's see, we heard from our wonderful Natasha Venter. She is our communicator and medium and personal awareness coach, and she does feng shui and astrology and, you know, all that general psychic stuff. You know, she's here the third Sunday of every month. She is also does a podcast on her YouTube channel. Her website is Natasha. Her website is intuitiveclarifications.com. Intuitiveclarifications.com. Her YouTube channel is Natasha Venter, IC for Intuitive Clarification. Natasha Venter, the letters IC. And that will bring up her YouTube channel, and then she does a podcast at 4 p.m. Every Wednesday. So you can find her there, and you can find the past editions of that available on that YouTube channel. And she's here the third Sunday of the month, and she's also available for private readings. So you can check all that out through her website at intuitiveclarifications.com, or you can give Natasha a call at 360-770-7486, 360-770-7486. And if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We'd love to have you. You can shoot me an email at animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Alrighty then, we are chatting with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. I swear you guys don't sleep, and you know more about anything going on with animals everywhere, and sometimes other stuff too, like Whidbey Island and sandbars and all that stuff. So who knows? Anyway, we have, I think we've worn Martha out on cockfighting and bullfighting and Mexican rodeos and all that sort of stuff. Is there anything else on those subjects that we need to cover before we move on?
Well, we can give that a break.
All right. So anything else going on around of interest that we ought to be talking about?
Well, we've had some truly horrific fatal dog attacks on babies, both pit bull attacks.
You know, there certainly have been a lot of that, a lot of those reports coming through you up this year. And, you know, we've got to start addressing this problem sooner or later, because it's amazing how many reports there are. So what's going on here recently that you're talking about?
Oh, we're on pace for a record number of dog attack fatalities for the third year in a row. We're way ahead of the record pace, in fact, for the first 3 months of the year. In the two cases that I mentioned, we're talking about very young infants, in one case in the care of a babysitter, in the other case in the care of a relative temporarily while the mother took her grandmother to the hospital. She's only gone from the house 20 minutes, whoever it was, a close relative that was supposed to be minding the baby, fell asleep. The baby rolled off and landed on the family pit bull, who proceeded to kill the baby.
Oh, now, dear.
If the dog landed on most dogs, the dog, it might react, might even give a nip, but it's not going to proceed to an all-out attack and, you know, tear the baby limb from limb. But that's what happened in this case.
Oh, gosh.
We're talking,
what a tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah, we've actually had a little bit of an exchange with the mother, who is actually, under the circumstances, I'd say surprisingly rational, even though this very often drives people to irrationality.
Yeah, well, understandably.
In the other case, it occurred in a place where there was a city council member, Sheila Myers. It's Prairie Village, Kansas. It's just one footstep from Kansas City, Missouri. You step over one of the main dividing streets, you cross the middle of the street, you're in Prairie Village. Sheila Myers, about 10 years ago, fought tooth and nail to keep the city from repealing the pit bull ban that they had, and she predicted that sooner or later they would have just such an incident as this. And what happened? The babysitter went into a different room, the wash machine stopped running, and she was going to move the load of laundry from the washer to the dryer. The baby was about 12 feet away in another room, but she could see it, and her pit bull apparently broke out of a bedroom or something, and before the babysitter could get back there, tore the baby apart.
Oh, geez.
So it's exactly the kind of thing that Sheila foresaw. But the main reason the ban was repealed is basically because Kansas City is the tail that swings the dog there. Because it's right adjacent to Prairie Village, whatever ordinances Kansas City chooses to enforce affects Prairie Village too. And the Best Friends Animal Society, which has been working very hard now for almost 20 years to repeal pit bull bans, had prevailed upon Kansas City to repeal its pit bull ban and had not yet put in place any other strong dog attack legislation to prevent dog attacks. And nothing at all in particular to prevent the first attack. And this is the thing that I always emphasize. We've been logging fatal and disfiguring dog attacks in the U.S. and Canada since 1982, which gives us a database of around 10,000, including close to 1,000 fatalities.
Wow.
And roughly half, first of all, roughly 70% of the attacks are by pit bulls, and roughly half of those are the first known incident. The dog has no prior history of biting somebody. It has no prior history of killing anybody's pet. It seems to be a perfectly happy, normal dog until suddenly it isn't. And it happens over and over and over.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You know, at some point, you know, we have to start addressing this issue. And it looks like, you know, today is at least we're tapping our toes in the water. You know, there's a lot of controversy here. And like, you know, you said, like the Best Friends Sanctuary has been working for a long time. And, you know, there's two contingencies. There's the side that you're talking about, the statistics, all of the attacks, all the fatalities. And, and I was just thinking about it yesterday. You know, one of the arguments in favor of against pit bull bans and that sort of thing is that, you know, there are many other breeds of dogs that bite a lot more frequently than pit bulls, and they just don't get the news coverage that pit bulls do. But the fact of the matter is, that's true. There are all kind of, you know, Cocker Spaniels bite more than pit bulls. There are lots of other breeds bite more. But the problem is they don't kill people. And kids or babies, and the problem with pit bulls is because of their physical body structure, they can do great damage and kill and break bone and all that sort of stuff. They're also a breed that, you know, has been bred to fight. and all of that sort of thing. And there's controversy. Do those tendencies come through genetically and all of that sort of thing? But it has been majorly awakening for me in terms of since connecting with Barrett, Merritt and Beth and the newsletters and the reports you send out. I truly, even with someone that this is my field of expertise and I deal with, I really didn't realize the incredible numbers that we're talking about and how many attacks and then the consistency and the details and that a lot of them really aren't predictable because the side that supports no pit bull bans and all of that. And by the way, I can make a case for either side. Right. But the side that it's not in favor of banning pit bulls, you know, would say, you know, it's not the dog. It's not the breed. It's people and what they do with it. And I can tell you as a behavior therapist and dog trainer, in my experience and all that I know, sometimes, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and often the animals in this world that are the capable of doing the most damage are some of the gentlest in personality and temperament. And most of the time, the pit bulls are really sweet, gentle dogs, but it's what they're physically capable of doing. That's the problem. And then we hear like Merritt, you talking about those cases where there are a number of these cases that there was no history with the dog of having any problems or behavior. They were what seemed to be normal family companions until all of a sudden they kill a baby or something. Right. Well, we need to really talk about those things and what's going on. So go ahead.
One of the dogs that killed the babies I was just talking about was 11 years old without an incident.
Wow.
And
wow.
It detonated instantly, and the relative who was right there on the couch, you know, within arm's length, was unable to stop it. It happened that fast.
Right, yeah.
And was that destructive.
So, yeah, so there's an issue here, and we are going to, as time goes by, we're actually going to schedule more time so we can really get into more of this and what's really going on and the statistics and other breeds that might be involved and so forth. But, you know, I'll tell you that I absolutely, like I said, could make a case on either side of this argument, but I'm tending now to skew more towards the statistics and what we know and what these dogs are capable of doing and the incredible physical injury and often death involved for people or children. And I have to say, as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, who I've been doing this, I started training dogs in grade school. You know, I've been doing this for decades and decades and decades. There are very few in this country that have as much experience in dealing with aggressive dogs than me. And I'll tell you, as much as I know, and you know, there isn't anybody that loves animals more than me. I talk to animals. You know, I've loved animals more than people my whole life and all of that. There are some breeds of dogs I will not work with. Bottom line. And some of it is because I'm in my 70s now and I'm older and I don't have, and I'm not that big a person, but I don't have the physical strength that I had, you know, to, if something did happen, that I would feel comfortable being able to deal with it. So even I have had to say, yeah, you know, I just can't do that anymore. You know, of course, there are others that can, but
dogs have seatbelts. You know, we assume that people are going to make mistakes when they drive their car, so they have seat belts and good brakes and regular checkups to make sure that the brakes work, the windshield wipers work,
tires.
Yeah, good tires, all those things. There are safety precautions that we take in order to drive a car, but there's no safety precautions that anybody is required to take to have a dog who weighs as much as the average person and is perfectly capable of taking them apart with his jaws. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, when I work with people when they already have dogs and they're going to have human babies, you know, there's I educate them and I teach them. They do all kinds of things ahead of time to prepare the dog for having a baby. And then there's all kinds of stuff we can do training wise, behavior modification wise. We can change the way dogs feel about things. You know, we can teach dogs that if a kid picks up a plastic baseball bat and starts to hit him, that it's a party and it's all fun. I mean, I have all kinds of great tricks and techniques to you know, and if you got the right sales pitch, you can convince dogs of almost anything. But in the situations where these deaths happen and all these injuries, that education's not happened. And it doesn't happen with most people, even with breeds that aren't capable of all of this. So yeah, it can be addressed and it could be prevented and all of that. But we can't force people to educate them and do that sort of thing. So I don't know what the answer is, but we will spend more time talking about this and break it all down statistically for you so you can understand what I'm now understanding with the help of Merritt and Beth and all the statistics they've compiled. There's an issue here, and we need to talk about it. So anyway, you guys, I really appreciate your time and all that you put into this. Check them out, everybody. Animals24-7.org is the website. Sign up for the newsletters, and then you'll get all the reports and know what's going on. You can also donate to the cause and chuck in some money to help them do all the work that they do. And we will see you. We will talk to you again, I guess, the first Sunday of April. I think it's April 6th for our regular report. But anyway, you guys batten down the hatches. And I'm glad you've protected Henry's butt and his tail feathers will be fine. And I hope that the wind stays reasonably calm. So you keep your power and all of that over there.
I forgot to tell you, Martha, Arabella wants a squirt bottle, too.
Oh. Okay, so equal opportunity. Squirt bottle works for both. All right, sounds good. All right, so I know you mentioned something going on with Teddy, your dog, so we'll have to talk about that off the air. But bless you. Thank you for being here. We'll talk to you again on the first Sunday of April. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you, Nate.
You're welcome.
All righty. So that's going to wrap us up for hour number two. We're going to fire up that love train one more time. And remember, if you don't realize the warring going on around the world and the disaster going on within the government of our country right now, you need to know. So please, you don't get to opt out on the love train. Dancing is required. And you can dance in your head, you can dance in your bed, you can dance in your chair, you can dance anywhere, or join the love train. I'll cruise through and pick you up, and we're going to send the love all over the country, all over the world. Remember, Ukraine. Lots of love. And then we will continue and change subjects completely, and we're going to welcome back a favorite guest of ours. She's always got great stories, and she continues to burn up the dog competition world. But she's also the magic behind New Pro Supplements. So we'll be talking to Janice in the next hour. And I'm going to energize up the Love Train music with our yogi energization prayer to give us a lot more spiritual juice today for today and the week. Here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth of body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues till noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.